Joe Stack's friends say they never saw it coming. Alphabet groups gear up for a new attack on GA. And a bomb threat diverts a United flight. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, February 19th, 2010. Yesterday may go down as an unfortunate watershed day for general aviation. The details you've probably heard by now are that the Piper Cherokee was seen flying low over buildings in Austin, Texas, before diving with apparent intent into the lower floors of a seven-story building housing offices leased by the IRS. Damage to the front of the building was extensive. Two employees were hospitalized. Another was eventually found dead, as was the pilot. Officials now say 53-year-old Andrew Joseph Stack also apparently set his own home on fire before heading for his plane. His wife and daughter arrived home to find it fully engulfed. The local Red Cross will be helping them find counseling. Stack was a musician with at least two bands in Austin. He was known as a nice, calm, rational guy who never talked politics. And as often is the case, nobody close to him saw this coming. AOPA President Craig Fuller commented on the group's website yesterday, quote, "It is important in the days ahead that we not overreact to this isolated act of suicide by a deeply troubled person and jeopardize the ability of hundreds of thousands of law-abiding U.S. citizens to fly," unquote. NBAA President Ed Bolin cautioned, quote, "The actions of a clearly troubled individual should in no way reflect on the general aviation community as a whole," unquote. And Doug McNair, EAA's VP of Government Relations, was on the same page. Quote, "We are staying in close contact with federal authorities and other aviation organizations to ensure that policymakers keep this incident in the proper perspective as it relates to aircraft security policy," unquote. Stack left behind a suicide note and manifesto on his blog. He said he'd been working on it for months, hoping it would be therapeutic, but that he'd finally had enough. Stack had a long history of dodging his income taxes and made it clear that he was attacking not only IRS workers, but his fellow pilots, predicting overkill by security agencies would follow his act and somehow move us all to a public revolt against government tyranny. Much of Stack's last rant is a rambling account of how public school brainwashing left him unprepared for life with Big Brother. He lays blame for his financial failures on a conspiracy including but not limited to lawmakers, wealthy corporate interests, a corrupt Catholic church, and accountants. But in the conclusion, he was focused and clear. Quote, "I saw it written once that the definition of insanity is repeating the same process over and over and expecting the outcome to suddenly be different. I am finally ready to stop this insanity. Well, Mr. Big Brother IRS man, let's try something different. Take my pound of flesh and sleep well," unquote. He signed it Joe Stack, 1956 to 2010. United Airlines Flight 741 was on its way from Denver to San Francisco yesterday morning when a flight attendant reportedly found a note warning that an explosive was aboard the plane. Passengers reported what seemed like an unusually abrupt course change, and the pilot announced a diversion to Salt Lake City. The plane landed about 10 a.m., was parked well away from the terminal, and sat on the ground for about 4 hours before continuing on. No explosives were found in a search of the aircraft or in the rescreening of the passengers and their luggage. Passengers told KSL TV News that they felt the situation had been handled well by the United flight crew, but some questioned why they were required to remain on board the aircraft for 45 minutes after landing when a bomb was thought to have been present. Up next on ANN, TSA is deploying technology to rescreen you at the gate. Haitian controllers are being transitioned back to their jobs at Port-au-Prince. And the first brand new otter in 22 years has taken flight. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 19th. I'm Paul Plack. TSA says it's been testing a new security technology that will increase unpredictability for terrorists in airports. The machine, which is about the size of a microwave oven, can be rolled around the terminal on a cart and will be used at gates to analyze swabs taken from passengers and their carry-ons in areas past the standard security checkpoints. The machines are said to be so sensitive that they can detect when a person has taken heart medication containing nitroglycerin or recently fired a gun. TSA says tests in 5 airports have shown passengers don't mind the process, and even the ACLU says at least it's not as invasive as body scanners. Nearly a year after the fact, TSA has issued an apology to a Pennsylvania family whose physically challenged son was required to remove his leg braces before they'd let him clear security on a trip to Florida last March. The Philadelphia Inquirer reports 4-year-old Ryan Thomas was traveling to Disney World last March with his parents, Bob and Leona Thomas of Camden, Pennsylvania. Ryan is developmentally challenged due to a premature birth, and at the time was just learning to walk with braces. Bob Thomas, who's a cop in Camden, told the Inquirer a TSA screener made the family remove Ryan's braces and insisted he walk through the metal detector on his own, with no parental help available in case he started to fall. He managed to accomplish that short walk, but Bob was really steamed. It turns out the TSA should have allowed the boy to be taken to a secure area and swab tested, if there was really a concern the 4-year-old was a terrorist. TSA recently apologized formally, as has the airport manager. On the heels of American Airlines' announcement of restored commercial service to Haiti effective today, the U.S. Air Force reports that a transition back to civilian controllers is also underway at Port-au-Prince. The Haitian controllers are learning the ropes in a temporary tower that was flown in and put up by the U.S. military after the January 12th earthquake caused damage to the permanent tower, which rendered it unsafe to occupy. It's not clear when a new permanent tower might be ready. The Twin Otter is back. The first new production DHC-6 Series 400 Twin Otter in 22 years has made its initial flight from an assembly facility in Calgary, Alberta, in advance of certification by Transport Canada. De Havilland Canada ended production of the Otter in 1988, but Viking Air Limited, which had been providing support for legacy De Havilland models for years, bought the type certificate and announced in 2007 that production of a modernized version of the plane was being planned. That modernization includes Honeywell Apex digital flight deck, new safety features, and Pratt & Whitney PT6A34 turboprops mated to the plane's legendary robust airframe. Canadian certification is imminent, and 10 planes are in various stages of completion on the line. Zymex Aviation of Switzerland has dibs on the first one. Still ahead, Aspen debuts the EFD-1000H at Hilly Expo. Garmin says the G500H will be out this spring. And even Waco succumbs to the digital era. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, February 19th. I'm Paul Plagg. Heli Expo 2010 opens today in Houston, and as is the case at many of the Stuckwing shows lately, much of the news from the event is about growing choices in avionics. Aspen Avionics is showing its new primary flight display, the EFD-1000H, as in helicopter, which has just been approved for use in the Bell 206 and 407. The STC was developed in cooperation with Keystone Helicopters. Anson Gray, Aspen's helicopter sales manager, notes, quote, "The EFD-1000H's lightweight, compact form and specially designed vibration-isolating kit will be a huge plus for helicopter operators looking for a glass cockpit upgrade," unquote. Garmin yesterday debuted its new G500H as in helicopter, which it says is designed specifically for the VFR Part 27 market. Garmin VP of Marketing Gary Kelly explains, quote, "FAA reports have indicated that the three main areas of operational risks for helicopters are inadvertent flight into IMC, night operations, and controlled flight into terrain," unquote. And so, the G500H offers synthetic vision capability. helicopter-specific databases with over 7,000 heliports and almost 30,000 additional low-altitude obstacles, and the ability to display forward-looking infrared or other video. Garmin expects STCs for the Bell 206 and 407 this spring. MSRP for the G500H will start at about $25,000 U.S. as an introductory special, with a synthetic vision option, another $8,000. Garmin is also introducing a new HTAWS for Helicopter Terrain Awareness and Warning System for GNSS 430W and 530W series navigators. It's available as an option on new systems and as a field upgrade for current owners. It provides operators graphical and audible alerts of potential terrain and obstacle conflicts along the flight path. The display incorporates a new 5-color terrain scale, and HTAWS also gives terrain voice alerts when descending below 500 feet. The new helicopter terrain database capabilities of the G500H are shared by HTAWS, which can also display annunciations on the G500H's screens if so equipped. Certification is expected in the spring. MSRP for the field upgrade or the option on new units is about $10,000 U.S. Augusta Westland has announced a deal with Bangladesh Navy for two AW109 Power Maritime helicopters. Missions will include search and rescue, economic zone protection, surface surveillance, and maritime security. The aircraft are scheduled for delivery next year, and both will be capable of being operated from the frigate BNS Bangabandhu. Augusta Westland says over 550 AW109s have been ordered for commercial, parapublic, and military applications by customers in almost 50 countries. And finally today, to some people, this is just going to look all wrong. Waco says it has produced one of its 30s vintage open cockpit biplanes with a full Garmin glass panel. Even the backup instrument is glass, an L3 avionics trilogy. There's not a single round analog gauge left anywhere on the panel, just a few virtual ones on the screens. The plane has XM weather, which some would argue is philosophically redundant in an open cockpit. It also has traffic and terrain alerts and a JPI engine data management system. But purists need not completely despair. The Waco still comes with a Jacobs R755 radial. So while everything in the cockpit has gone rectangular, at least the engine is still round. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Roy Beiswenger discusses the end of Ultraflight magazine and what's replacing it. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.